Hello and welcome again to a Binging with Ben episode. This is part two of season five, Binging with Ben, so it's probably a good idea to listen to part one. Just to give you some background, the show is usually my brother Kyle and I, Kirk, talking about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. This episode is my guest Ben Ramirez and I, Kirk, talking about just a season of NYPD Blue. In this case, it's season five, and this is part two. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope I get a chance to do this with Ben for season 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and even 12, which I think would be the most interesting for very different reasons. Just for some context, if you refuse to listen to part 1, right now we are running through a list of famous faces that were in season 5 of NYPD Blue. Like I said, this is a continuation of a list started in part 1, so it's going to seem like a very strange opening, but I assure you it makes sort of sense if you listen to part 1 of Binging with Ben, Season 5. Hope you enjoy the show. Paul Ben Victor, who you probably don't know, but he was the guy that was Stephen Ronald Richards, who was in episodes before.
Oh, okay.
Because he was in the Wire and a bunch of other stuff before. Mm-hmm. Daniel Dae Kim from Lost. I don't know if you've watched Lost.
I've never seen Lost.
But that, and you know what?
But he was the son, right?
That yeah. That was another great episode that I completely forgot about. Because we're talking about the race issues, he was the Asian man that just, like, straight out...
He gave up $5,000 to whoever would answer to his dad's death.
And he called them, animals. And he said money is the only thing these people will respond to. The person who took the reward is the mother of the people who did it.
And that episode was the only time you actually see Simone break down.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else that's happened really didn't break down. Yeah. He gets emotionally, like, tired or... just worn out.
He does scream at Fancy and Sipowicz, I think at Weaver of Hate, because he finds out that...
the mom turned in.
He cries for her. To continue that story, because Sipowicz comes in pissed off because there was also a 8-year-old girl that was raped in an abandoned building. That's the other story. And then Sipowicz comes in after getting that guy to confess.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy was like, you're just like me, but I have a monstrous force. You hurt people because you want to. So then Sipowicz comes in, and he's all pissed off, and he, like, breaks the paper machine. And then Simone is like, yeah, I just had to deal with a mom who turned in her kids.
Yeah.
And then he starts crying, and then Sipowicz sits next to him, and you're like, God, that's like, really bad. Yeah. Really bad episodes.
I would say this season dealt with a lot more kids.
Yeah. That's pretty much one of my big questions for the end of this.
Okay, we'll save it. We'll save it.
Because I was like, just from a personal perspective about stuff, I wanted to ask some questions. But Daniel Dae Kim, the thing I love about him, he was in Lost. In Lost, he plays a dude from China. China or Korea? China? I think China. He doesn't understand a single word of English on Lost. He learns English throughout the show. And I could have swore that dude was a Chinese actor. Like, by how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just shows up in this one. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You could just... You're American? I could have swore you were...
And you're throwing wads of cash at people?
I was like, what the hell? And also, he doesn't age. If you watch...
See him then and then now.
You're like, this dude doesn't age at all. Frank Collison? Don't remember who that is. But a famous face, I guess. Mark Pellegrino? He was in Lost and on a bunch of stuff that I cannot... remember now all of a sudden. Sam Whipple, this is funny. Sam Whipple is the guy that was Willie in Box of Wendy. I only remember him because he was in The Rock.
Yes.
And when I saw his face, I was like, oh my gosh, that's Mr. Henderson from The Rock. That's embarrassing that I know exactly who that is.
It just says how much you like the Nicolas Cage movies, right?
It's true. A gentleman named Al White, who was... There was an episode where a black kid was shot at, like, a taxi service.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was his friend who shot him. And you find out because the uncle of that dude came in and confessed it. That uncle is Al White. He was the dad in Back to the Future 2 who almost brains Marty when he shows up in his daughter's bed. And every time I see his face, I'm like, oh, shoot!
Where's the bat?
Teresa Merritt, don't remember who she is. Anthony Anderson. You mentioned Anthony Anderson. He shows up and you're like, you have like three lines in this
in this episode about PD Blue.
I mean, to see him in such a small role to now his own TV show on ABC Family.
And he has a game show too.
Does he really?
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. I think it's To Tell the Truth. They gave him They have him on a TV game show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit. Janet Hubert, original Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Which, I might cut this out, but one thing that like blew my mind, because they had the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion, I was not aware that quote-unquote Black Twitter refers to her as dark-skinned Viv. Like, there was a...
I know that they switched out Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
And that was controversial.
Yeah. And the reason they talked about it in the reunion, because I never knew, but I had no idea that the African-American community refers to her as dark-skinned Viv. Because I was like, I never saw it that way. I just was like, original Viv and new Viv. But, okay. It makes sense. Like I said, probably going to be cut. Michael Chiramundi. Don't know. Michael Glave. He's been in some stuff that you may see here and there, but Giancarlo Esposito. Just him showing up was next level. Because you're like, he shows up and he just kills it. Fredro Starr. He was one of the dudes that was in the gang rape and attempted murder in the same episode with Giancarlo.
Okay.
He's like a rapper slash actor who's been in a ton of random 90s movies.
Okay.
But like, seeing him, you're like, I've seen him 1,000 times in something. Titus Welliver. Do you know who Charlotte Ross is?
I don't think so.
That's kind of a spoiler, but the woman that plays Tommy Richardson's wife, the blonde lady.
Okay, her.
Yeah. It's pretty much a giant spoiler who she is, which is why I'm going to ask, do you know who that is? And
I don't.
Okay, good. It's a good thing you don't know. It's going to make things a lot better for the future. Michael Cudlitz, or Cudlitz. He was in the, oh my god, we didn't talk about the racist episode, where the super alt-right dudes murder their friend.
You mean what's going on in America right now?
Oh my god. Watching that episode now, you're like, Jiminy Christmas. We thought this was crazy.
And they were even talking about Y2K. I was like, oh.
We thought this was crazy 20 years ago. We didn't allow these people to speak publicly. Oh, man.
And just looking at, even at the opening credits, just how far back this show goes, they still have the Twin Towers in the opening credits. I was like, wow. And like seeing how far back it is and them saying that, I'm like, this is not okay.
Like, just all of their words, all of their lines, and you're like, wow, this was written 30 years ago. Well, 20-ish. And it's like the same shit they're saying now. And it still doesn't make any sense at all. When it was like, yeah, Zionists and anti-Christian sensibility and one world government. You're like, what the fuck are you even talking about? What are we talking about? Why does that make sense to then murder a bunch of people at the UN? Doesn't make any sense. Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
As a druggie, just like, I didn't do what she did. She did.
Because, I mean, whether you like him or not, as an actor, he shows up and he murders that scene. And it's only one scene. Like, he just absolutely kills it. Oh, man.
I didn't do what she did. I just held her down. The hammer didn't do nothing in the water.
And you're like, wow. And it's so dark. So super dark. Willie Garson, who we had the return of Henry Caulfield.
Mm.
One episode this season. Which was kind of a cool one, because it was showing growth with him.
Yeah.
In a very small way.
But he even just paid the time to come back.
Yeah, and also his, like, because it was built on characters that you had to have watched the season before to know what's going on. Edith, the woman that breaks everybody's balls. He is the landlord of the building, but Simone owns it. You have to know a lot of stuff to even get the dynamic. And then when he's there, you're like, God, this annoying prick. And you remember all the time.
And you're not surprised to find out if he killed her.
And now, yeah, the whole episode is played like, he could have done this. But
he's like, I just smoked the reefer up there. I say stupid shit when I'm high.
And as admitted pot smokers at a time, my brother and I, we mentioned in that episode, like, if you went to talk to your landlord and they were obviously high,
Because you can tell. And they started saying, I'm going to kill this woman. You would not take it seriously at all.
But then everyone says, oh no, he was taking it seriously.
I was like, Kyle, he's like, yeah, if I knew my landlord and he was getting high on the roof. Mm-hmm. And then he comes up and he's like, yeah, I'm going to kill this old woman. We'd be like, yeah, sure, dude. Sure. We believe you.
And the fact that they point out, like, the chair up on the other roof.
Well, he even brings it up, and he's like, I tried to find a spot where I could see into her window. And then the guy's like, yeah, he found a spot so he could shoot her through the window. He's like, it's just talk, Simone. Hawthorne Jones. He was the dude in Seminole Thinking that was mixing the scene to confuse people.
Yes.
He is the bus driver in Speed.
Really?
Yes. That is why he's the bus driver in Workaholics. And he's also my brother, because my brother and his friends used to, like, back in high school, him and his friends, like, loved Speed, and they loved a specific line where he would say, this ain't no bus stop, and they would just scream it at each other. So he's like, when I saw that guy, I freaked out, because I was like, that's the bus driver from Speed. this is a crazier one that I mentioned on the podcast. I don't know if you heard that one yet, but Seth Jaffe, he played the used car lot owner when that guy was found dead.
Yeah.
Seth Jaffe is a interventionalist on the show Intervention.
What?
after an acting career where he was on NYPD Blue, apparently he did a couple years of heroin.
That's as usual for actors.
He got clean, and now he's on the show Intervention as an interventionalist. And I found this out while watching the show and doing some editing for the show. And I looked up Seth Jaffe, and I was like, why is this dude so familiar? And I was watching Intervention on Hulu at the time, and he showed up. And I was like, holy shit, it's the same guy. So Seth Jaffe on an episode of NYPD Blue, also interventionalist. And he's also, I mean, just to nerd out about Intervention, he's one of the, like, dudes that they bring in if they're, like, if things are going to get physical, because he looks pretty menacing. And also, since he was addicted to heroin, he kind of deals with, like, the harder shit, because he's like, dude, I was doing, like, thousands of dollars worth of heroin, so I know what it's like to be addicted. This is when they bring him in. It's a pretty rad episode. Anyway, Intervention also on Hulu.
Nice plug.
Yeah. No money from Hulu, by the way, after all these years. No money. Neil Gattoni? Gutaloni? May have spelled that completely wrong. But Neil Gattoni, he was the dude, another character I really liked that we could talk about, maybe. Ross Cheswick? He was the dude that shot the used car salesman after the used car salesman figured out he was going to steal the car.
The one that his life was crumbling, and then...
Yeah.
Even afterwards, they're like, I mean, we can let him go, right?
Yeah, like, that dude... Because I really like that character. I think... And I've started to do this a lot with old shows, where I play the game, is this dude autistic? Like, and they just didn't know what autism was, really. Because Ross Cheswick was like, here's what I did, here's what I was going to do, here's what happened. And they're like, okay.
That was the fastest interview we had. And even Andy, he said that, right?
Yeah, he was like, he's like, I really like that attitude before they talked to him. And then afterwards, he's like, I mean, what do we do? And then they talked to him, they talked about how to, like, protect him because they don't think he's a threat. But he just called him stupid, too. Like, mm-hmm. The guy went to sit with him, and he's like, don't sit too close, you might catch stupid. But it was, I just was like, I think this dude is kind of autistic. Kind of like Jason, the guy that was also paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Blake, who I've completely forgotten about who that was, but Walton Goggins, who was completely cut out. I'm just remembering now one of these guys whose name I do not remember. Carmen DiStofferno. This is also a crazy one. I don't know if you've heard the podcast yet. In the episode the episode with Darlene Gettings, and they talk to the actor, and the actor's at the coffee shop, and then they have that blind guy who wants a coffee.
Yeah, him.
Have you ever seen Boondock Saints?
Yes.
that dude only has two credits. Boondock Saints and that episode of NYPD Blue where he plays a blind dude. And I was like, that was one of those moments too where I was like, I know I've seen this dude. And then you click on it and it's like one other role, Boondock Saints. And I was like, holy shit. It, like the weirdest two things you could be in.
Not a big famous face, but you know, still.
Yeah, just one of those things where like weird connection. And I can't remember the name of the guy, but his entire part was cut out of the season finale for the Hulu edit. Because there's a scene where the lawyer actually wears a wire against his client that gets cut out of the Hulu one. Mm. And Sipowicz watches it happen. His client is the dude from Seinfeld who dressed up in the Pagliacci makeup. I don't know if you watched a lot of Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Yeah, so once I saw that guy's face and I was like, who the hell are you? And then I like pictured all the makeup and I was like, oh man. That's
was he the lawyer?
No, he was the... Because his whole part's cut out. He was the... He's the one that committed the jewelry store robbery that then had that wife and mother, or wife and mother and child killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess bigger questions. Do you know what's going to be happening in season 6?
No clue.
Definitely don't listen to the parts that we cut out of podcasts that are going to spoil season 6.
Okay.
Definitely text me when you start it.
Okay.
How do I... Because we did kind of spoil, and you already know that certain characters aren't going to be around.
Right. I know that Simone's not going to be there for much longer.
Because I know that... Because you're a big fan of Scrubs. And you were a big fan of How I Met Your Mother.
Yes. Big fans of both.
Did you have emotional reactions to the death of Jason Segel's father?
Not really, sadly.
Okay.
I was sad, but I wasn't emotionally torn about it.
Did you have an emotional reaction to certain deaths on Scrubs?
Yes.
Okay. The first 5 episodes of this next season are probably going to be pretty rough.
Why do you gotta do this to me, Kirk?
I'm telling you now because my brother floated the idea that he doesn't even want to do them.
Really?
He's only seen them once.
Wow.
When we don't have a huge... I'm not pretending like we have a huge following. We don't have a huge following, but there was discussion about how the next 5 episodes are going to be the hardest for people to rewatch from multiple people. My brother is very worried about watching them. I was like, we have to watch them. But I only say that because it's kind of up there in the most emotional TV deaths I think I've ever experienced.
And I'm going to find that hard to believe. I'm going to have to watch it, though. I have to watch it and give you my input.
And I think you're going to be shielded because of how it kind of happens, how it unfolds. But it's pretty fucking rough. I remember, you know, like David Caruso just fucking bails.
Yeah, just ups and leaves.
They had to fight for him to do 4 more episodes, and then they were kind of like a good riddance. We want Jimmy Smits anyway. Jimmy Smits asked to leave, and they didn't want him to leave. But they also made sure he was not coming back. And like I'm just saying it because I don't know how emotional you do get. I know that I'm probably going to end up freaking out a little bit because I remember how bad it is. It's pretty rough. And it's very early in the season. And when it starts going, it's kind of just like a roller coaster straight down. And it lasts a long time for a show. Oh, man. It's one of those things where I don't want to spoil it, but you know he's going. When it starts happening, it's kind of like, well, that's just where we're going with this, I guess. The other thing, I guess big picture stuff, you mentioned a lot of stuff happening to kids.
Yes.
And there's a big marriage element of this season, period. James and Gina get married, and then we forget almost immediately. He has a kid, and we almost forget immediately.
But we don't forget Metaboy's
kid. Yeah, we never forget
Metaboy. We watch the video.
And we never forget the children he has with his ex-wife. And of course, Simone and Russell get married. You were recently married. I say recently. It's within a year.
Within a year. Coming up on the 1 year soon.
I imagine you've had discussions about children.
We have.
Is watching a show like this not necessarily harder on those discussions, but like just makes you think about the horrors of what happens to children and people?
It really does.
Because this season was pretty rough on kids.
Like it was. You see, I mean, obviously, the son that got raped by his father.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk about the episode where the girl gets kidnapped by the pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
By the video store.
Yep. That one. That was, and that's an extended episode, too. You find out... Not to completely derail you, but the extended scenes with the father of that episode are really dark. Because the father basically says twice, if someone is raping my child, I want her to die quickly. Because I don't want her to suffer if we're not going to find her. And you're like...
Oh, damn.
Like, and I remember watching it, like, I'm kind of glad they cut this out, because that's pretty harsh. But yes, continue, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And then you have the kid, the daughter being killed to death with a hammer.
Yeah.
And the little girl that got pretty much, like, fondled and raped. Or just completely molested.
Yeah.
And even in the same episode, the dad with the special needs, or the dad and the son with the special needs...
Oh, yeah. Where they try to convince that it was him.
Yeah. Well, the mom did.
Yeah.
Because she's a Karen, let's be honest.
That mom was bad. She was a bad character.
Yeah. But at the end of it, I loved how the dad brought his son to the police station. It's like, hey, like, mm-hmm. I just want you to know, I raised my son to believe that the police are here to help him if he ever gets lost.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to think he should be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that was a good sign of a parental part. And I think, kind of moving forward, like, when I start having a family, I'm going to want those moments with my children. Be like, hey, despite whatever is going on, like, just so you know, you can trust these police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Might be harder for me to say now with everything going on with the Police Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, and everything. But, set that aside, I want them to know that there are people that are good out there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be ignorant. And believe it's okay to just kind of go off and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the other day, me and my wife, we were driving around the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And we just see, like, high school kids kind of coming and going. I asked her, at what age are you comfortable with our kids to walk off by themselves?
It's a good conversation.
And even, like, looking into these episodes, you see they're much younger.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not even walking off. They're being, like, grabbed and snatched up. Not to say it's anything about the parents or anything. It's just...
It happens.
It happens, yeah. I will say it has, like, kept my eyes open to the potential of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not completely dissuaded from bringing kids into the world.
Because I was thinking, like, as I was watching this, and I was like, okay, well, he's getting married. He's married. I know just by how everything works, like, the first thing that happens is you're... parents want to be grandparents, and they want to know what's the plan, what's the future plan, when are we going to work on this, when are we going to do that. And I was like, man, that must be way more difficult if he's spending 2 weeks watching, like, the child murder show of the universe, because there was so many shitty things happening to kids. And I'm like, oh, this doesn't affect me because I'm nowhere near close to having one.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can't imagine being a parent, or because one of the big struggles for Russell is like, oh, I'm going to have a child. And she's talking with Jill a lot about having children and what it's like and things you have to accept and things you have to deal with. And, oh, man, like, I was just thinking, like, man, I wonder if at any point this is making him think, like, okay, so kids.
What kind of world do I want to bring them in?
Also, like, what kind of child tracker am I buying? And hooking on them so that they don't have to worry about getting... Oh, man, in that episode specifically, talking about the young girl who gets pulled into an abandoned building, and that mother accuses of a kid with Down syndrome.
Saying, like, oh, he's at that age where it's like, he's getting curious and everything.
And, like, there's always a part of me that watches this show, and I'm like, oh, my God, did they cross the line that's really going to get us canceled? Because it's already about cops, which is already a problem. And there's even an article that I would love to reference if I knew all the details. But a dude who, like, wrote a book on NYPD Blue wrote an article about how it's a very problematic show in these times because it always shows them as being either ultimately right in certain aspects, or it shows them engaging in tactics they know are illegal to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And then I get to this scene and I'm like, are they really going to have a kid with Down syndrome be a rapist in the show? And then I was like, oh my god, is that what happened? And I'm like going through all the episodes in my head. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be really bad. And then luckily by the end, you're like, no, it's just the mom was an asshole and badgering her kid into thinking something stupid. So,
and one of the biggest things that always puts me on edge,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but parents that kill people or even like do something to a child, I don't know why it sits easier with me than seeing a child do something to another child. Because I feel like,
yeah,
as an adult, you know that there's something that has led to them to get to this conclusion. Kind of going back to the pedophile, it's like, I'm a monster, but so are you. Kind of
thing.
You know that. But when it's a child, where did they learn that? Where did they develop that? And that's what's going to scare me more.
And of course, you know, I'm dealing with Sipowicz, who there's been episodes where he's badgering someone he knows didn't do it just to get info. And you're like, okay, well, what is he going to do with a kid with Down syndrome? How are they going to do this?
Yeah.
And then, like, they talk to him, and then immediately it's like, okay, well, that was a dumb idea. I was like, oh, thank God.
And thank God it was Diane that talked mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it has those moments where you're just like, oh, no, what are we doing here? I'm trying to think, was there another... You had to deal with a marriage during quarantine, or a wedding during quarantine.
Which you were invited to.
Why?
Yeah, you were invited. Not to the actual ceremony, but when we were going to have the regular.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was like, you had it? You didn't tell me? Or you did and I didn't get it? Because the wedding in this one, the big wedding, is at a courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing me and Kyle joked about was like, first off, they do it after they're closed, which bothers me already as someone who works in retail.
And then he even asked, like, just one more.
And you're like, what the fuck? No.
And the guy's like, oh, fine.
He's like, no.
He didn't even give grief around. He's like, just bring him in.
Like, and the thing I said to Kyle was like, I'm already contributing to the ridiculous divorce rate by marrying a bunch of people that probably shouldn't be married if you're doing it here, of all places. So I don't want to marry you right now. I want to go home. I've been marrying people all day. I felt for that man. But just being in a situation where you can't have that big wedding... Because mm-hmm. I watch it, it's like, oh, it's a wedding. Is there, like, does it bring up anything about the wedding you guys had? Because I don't know what you guys even did. I just know that it was probably very small.
It was very small. What we did was just a marriage of only immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
And with my wife's family, but being up in Oregon, they didn't feel comfortable flying.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. And they weren't sure about everything. And just driving down with her brother, who does have some issues.
Okay, yeah.
It was just going to be harder for them to come, so it was only my family. So just my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, their baby, her sister, and her sister just was pregnant or was about to have and has two younger boys. And she said, I don't want them around anything, like potentially mm-hmm. getting it. And so it was very small on that end, too. And just our friend who was the Justice of the Peace.
Solid.
And the photographer. That was it.
That was it.
So, definitely we wanted pictures to take of that. But all we had our friend do was just sign the paper saying, like, yeah, you're legally married. And then we had to take it to the courthouse.
That was it.
The worst part is, I will say, my grievance about this whole quarantine thing. The LA County was like, we're not... giving him off. So, try to find a place that will marry you. We tried doing Riverside County. That's where my parents live. And like, oh, sorry, no. You have to be a resident of Riverside County to get married here. And I was like, okay, let's go San Bernardino, since it's Rancho, whatever. Oh, you need to be a resident of San Bernardino County. So, technically, we weren't like legally married until about a month after the ceremony.
And as we know, Jesus Christ, he checks that paperwork.
He does.
He checks it.
Checked it twice.
Yeah. He makes sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And the crosses are crossed.
And the cross. Yes.
But
luckily, we were able to get it through Orange County.
That's good.
So, we got married.
I'm learning through this quarantine. This is pretty personal. I'm learning that Orange County doesn't give a fuck. Like, everyone's been talking about how everything's shut down. Orange County just be living its life. Like, oh, yeah. No one gives a shit down there. I'm pretty convinced everyone thinks that nothing's happening the way they live down in Orange County.
Funny enough, the day we went to go get the marriage license in Orange County, we're like, ah, you know what, let's just go to the beach. We have the day off, let's just go.
And everyone's there.
Not only that, but I mean, it was during the day, so maybe it wasn't as busy, but we're on the pier, and this lady just comes up to us. No mask or anything. She's like, oh, you guys are so cute. Do you guys, what are your thoughts on the COVID? And she's like, maybe 8 inches away from us.
Our thoughts are, we don't want it.
Exactly, and that's what we said. And then, as we were leaving the pier, she's there with her friends, like, you could tell she was drunk. She goes up to a mom who's pushing a stroller of two kids in it, and her daughter walking by her side, and she's getting up in front of the baby's face.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Even if it wasn't COVID, I wouldn't want a strange lady getting that close to my child.
Anything else about season 5 that we haven't talked about that's pressing in your mind?
Just like I said, new season, same metaboy.
Same metaboy.
Still complaining about getting too fat.
I feel a little bad for Kirkendall.
Yeah.
I feel like she's just been regulated to making Diane feel better.
Yeah, that's true.
And
from what you're saying, it sounds like she's going to take on that role even more so in the next season.
Well, yeah, I was just to give a quick plug for What Would Sipowicz Do? The collection of articles about NYPD Blue. Someone wrote an article that said there is an underlying relationship between Jill and Diane.
Hmm.
That's kind of like this unspoken,
like a lesbian relationship?
That's what she's saying. The person who wrote this article. But it does continue on from there. I can say that without much spoilers. That her and Diane get closer and closer and closer.
So then my question is, why didn't they bring in Abby for that instead? She just lost a lover. Maybe she's looking for something else.
Just saying. I think she had to go shoot Turtles in Time. I don't know what the year was when that was getting shot. She thought she was going to the moon.
Another thing that we were supposed to talk about, because I mentioned it on one of your streams.
Oh, yes.
Why I don't like Martinez.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about... You don't like Martinez. Now, this could be, and I don't want to assume I know what it is. You are of Hispanic descent.
Yes, I am.
Martinez basically, him and Gina represent like the only Hispanics in the precinct.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, it would probably be, if he is a bad representation, I can see why that would annoy you. But I don't know what it is about Martinez.
I think it's just him, personally, that annoys me. Because in the previous season, you see him going for delegate, and mm-hmm. he's getting up in everyone's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this season, it's all about Gina. Oh, the Gina and the baby. Oh, Gina and her mom. Gina and this. Gina and Gina. And then she throws out his back. I mean, I guess she's pregnant with his baby. And they have, like, a quick marriage. Like, hey, it's legal. We're good. It's just... I don't know what it is, but that annoyed me a little bit. It's almost like perpetuating the stereotype of the Hispanic culture a little bit.
I get you.
Because family is very important, I would say, in the Hispanic culture.
Mm-hmm.
I would say most times than not, you kind of see that happen. Where it's like, oh, hey, like, we're getting close. Ha-ha. Oh, we're pregnant.
We're married.
Now we're married.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, and it's just...
And they rushed it. You're right. They rushed it so fast. Because when you think about how long certain things take in that show, like Medavoy and Abby, how long it took just to exist in a world where Medavoy could be making a baby with a lesbian couple. And this one is, they got together, she's definitely pregnant, and then they, like, microwaved that marriage as fast as possible. And then they just threw her out. Like, she was gone.
Yeah, and you just hear, like, oh, yeah, Gina's doing good. She's with her mom. And then she got sick, and then that kind of just led to, like, her off-screen time.
She's just out of there. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't notice it, really, until you focus right on it. Because it seemed like it would be a running thing through season 5. We'd be checking in on Martinez. He's starting a family.
Yeah, because we get that with Andy and Theo.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, and then you see a little bit of Kirkendall on her after hours.
Because, yeah, she had the episode with two kids, and now she's possibly dating Cohen, and we don't know where that's going.
And then you have Simone and Diane, obviously, because of their... Diane's there just because of Simone.
Let's be honest. He's the main attraction of the show.
Yeah, he's the main attraction for sure. And you are right where, because even the show encourages him to get married, because Sipowicz is like, that's him doing the right thing. You're like, is it though?
Yeah.
Is it really? Like, they don't know each other that well.
And like I said, you hear that a lot in Hispanic culture. Like when they do get married, it's like, oh, that's the right thing.
And you're like, yeah, I could see that. He did something in the full version of the last episode that really stuck with me. And that kind of, it doesn't exactly make him an asshole, but I will leave you with it because, or leave it to you, because I imagine you'll think the thing I did. When Menaboy is getting ready to call the woman he met on this case, Martinez sees him pick up the phone because it's the payphone in the lobby. And then Menaboy like quickly hangs it up and he's like, what's going on, Greg? And he's like, I was thinking about calling that girl. And he's like, oh, why don't you? And he's like, well, you know, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. Cop using the phone number of somebody they met on a case. And Martinez is like, are you kidding? You're kidding, right? Do you know how many cops do this all the time? And I'm not even talking about hookers. And you're like, what? You're just like sewing this very weird...
And my question is, does that imply that...
That he did that?
Exactly. Like, is it recent? Is it previous?
So yeah.
Does it involve Gina at all? Does it not? Like,
yeah, that was... That, when he said that...
Does he need his delegate now?
Just the way he said it was so...
Almost nonchalant.
Yeah, like, no, you don't do that. And then, and I'm not even talking about with hookers. Like, so it happens a lot with hookers, too? Like, and, you know, it was just kind of like a... That was a weird thing for Martinez to say. Just no big deal. Yeah.
But I may make a controversial statement right now where I say I would prefer Menaboy over Martinez.
Wow. That is controversial.
Come at me, Kyle.
Well, I don't think Kyle likes Martinez either.
But which is the lesser evil for him? That's my question.
That's a very good question. I do, even though I opened up this whole discussion saying I think Menaboy is as bad as everyone says. Just when you see all the sins next to each other, you kind of go, okay, I understand. I think the reason he sticks around and stays around is because he is a well-written character who's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is the perfect guy at work that you're just annoyed you have to work with him.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the serious with Andy, but you have him as a comic relief in the show.
And yeah, there's so many moments where it's like, oh, that's Menaboy just being a dumb doofus. And yeah, Martinez has his moments where you're just like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I mean, should I go through the notes? I'm sure I'll find something to talk about forever. Oh yeah, we didn't really talk about thinking Sipowicz had a heart attack. I mean, that kind of worked out well. In terms of Hispanic culture that I thought may have been a bad representation, do you remember Teresa Ocasio? In the show? It's like the 18-year-old woman who...
Yeah, again.
That one was like, holy shoot, man. Like, her boyfriend's dead in the tub. She tried to get her dad to cut him up when a new boyfriend shot him.
Yeah. I would say, again, that goes to the family tie. Not for her, but for her dad.
Because, yeah, like, why would you ever go, yeah, let's do this?
If anything, like, I could see the dad doing that to protect her, to do that. I like the dad more because of that. She's narcissistic, manipulative.
Oh, man. And there's a couple characters like that. Because I feel like the woman who's like Donna number two in the last episode, the way she's talking to Menaboy, I think she picked up like, oh, this guy's into me. And if this guy's into me, I can get off. And sure, I can go out with him twice and then just beat this charge. So, like, the entire time I'm watching it, I'm like, Menaboy, you are an idiot. Like,
you're being used.
You are a dumb person. And same thing with Teresa, where you're just like, what the hell? I think that's it.
And I got nothing else to share, or any other thoughts.
Thanks for watching a whole season, and talking with me again.
Of course, anytime.
Hopefully I'll see you for season 6, even though we are going to be losing one of the best parts to be gaining Ricky Schroeder, who is a known asshole. I don't know if you know about Ricky Schroeder.
I do not.
Ricky Schroeder is who replaces Jimmy Smits.
I figured.
He plays... that does make sense.
He's the other guy on the
on the stock image on Hulu.
That is
not him? Never mind.
No, that is, if it's the Hulu stock image, I'm pretty sure that is Mark Paul Gosselaar, who was on Saved by the Bell. And was his serious transition to being on NYPD Blue. And you saw how well it went, as he is now on the Saved by the Bell reboot. Ricky Schroeder plays Daniel Sorensen. But we found out recently in the news, Ricky Schroeder, the actor, paid for a lot of Kyle Rittenhouse's bail money.
Hmm.
So he's a known asshole. So me and Kyle were like, I don't know how we're going to talk about him
in a positive light
in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, next season's going to be. It's also, he does a good job from what I remember. Now I'm going to have to look at him. Which is going to be hard. Anyway, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for talking.
Thank you, as always.
Hopefully see you for season 6. And everybody else, have a good one out there. Keep watching NYPD Blue.
Stay safe.
Oh, yeah. Wear a mask. Distance socially. Make smart decisions for you and your family.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls, especially this Binging with Ben episode. We like making them. We hope you like listening to them. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it, if they have ratings and reviews, because that's how people see the show. That's how we get into the algorithm. That's how more people end up watching NYPD Blue. You can watch it right now on Hulu, but as previously mentioned, some of those episodes are edited, so it might be better to get the versions that are on Amazon, which actually have the previously on NYPD Blues, or get the DVDs if you want the full experience. If you need more NYPD Blue info in your life, and you like to read, there is True Blue, written about the first couple seasons. There is What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles written about the show. And, of course, Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue that's on Amazon for, I believe, 99 cents. We are on Twitter at AstroBrosPod. We are Instagram at AstroBrothersPodcast. Please let us know if we missed things. I know we did, and there's things you were dying to hear, and we didn't talk about it. I apologize, but yell at us on those platforms. Have a good one. Please make healthy decisions, and watch more NYPD Blue!